And now TV in 2014. We'll look at some new shows, including Klondike Intelligence, in a series that I know I'll be glued to, Killer Women. What a concept. We need more people who kill on our TV screens. We'll also talk about Spoils of Babylon that stars Will Ferrell, Kristen Wiig, Tobey Maguire, and others. That said, we're going to learn more about all of these shows today with our TV critics. They are Sarah Smith, who writes on all manner of TV happenings for the Kansas City Star. Sarah, welcome back. So good to have you.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Timothy English is also here. He's a screenwriter as well as a TV and film critic. Tim has written for The Examiner since 2009 and appears regularly on KC Live on KSHB. And Tim, nice to have you too. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks for having me.
So why are we talking, Sarah, about new shows in January? Because, by gosh, when I was a kid, they switched out shows once a year and in the fall, and that was it. So what's going on here?
Well, it's short attention span theater for the networks.
Yeah.
They get rid of shows really quickly. A lot of shows didn't make it through the fall. They cleaned house, and then we have – so this is the mid-season shows. When I sat down to sort of look at what was coming out, I easily found more than 30 new shows coming out just in January.
30 new shows just in January. And these are on all the major networks as well as the cable channels too, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Timothy, what do you make of it, all this change?
It's too many. I mean, I don't see what the point is of running a show for a couple of weeks. I mean, there was a couple over the fall.
Yeah, no kidding.
We Are Men, Ironside. I mean, these shows are only given like two or three episodes, if that. You know, and it makes you wonder what's the point of going through all the money of producing these shows and marketing them if you're only going to give them a couple weeks.
You know, and you think back in history at shows that had slow starts that became major mega hits. I'm thinking a show like Cheers that just launched and so slowly and didn't do that well at first, and then at some point down the road caught on, and the rest is history.
You're absolutely right, and I think one problem is it does take a while for some of these shows to find an audience because there's so many of them. There's so many networks right now. It's crazy. I mean, you have Discovery Channel. They're running their own TV series now. I mean, it's just there's so much to watch, and sometimes it takes a while for people to get through these shows that are awful to find these shows that are really hidden gems that maybe don't get the publicity from the networks that they deserve.
And word of mouth just takes a while to get going some of these things.
Yeah.
You know, it seems to me, Sarah, like TV is in such a good place right now, at least, you know, when it comes to shows that have people talking, even more so than the movies. Are you seeing that too?
Yeah, my friends talk to me a lot more about TV than they do the movies.
Breaking Bad and all the shows, right? It's the talk.
I think that the DVR really revolutionized things for people.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to make sure that they were home at a certain time, and then they could catch up later, or they could just watch the show that their friends had been talking about. They could catch up on three seasons over a weekend. So I think the DVR really catapulted TV into the water cooler conversation.
Binge watching is the new American norm, right?
That's
people just love to do that. Sit down over the holiday weekend and just get caught up on all kinds of stuff here. I mean, do the two of you think there are more shows coming along now that will get people talking as you look at what's coming out in January? I mean, I'm talking about, you know, shows that we've just been through, like Breaking Bad, which has run its course, or House of Cards. Do you see those kinds of mega shows coming down the pike or not?
Well, you know, I kind of see a mix. I think there's too few shows that, you know, really try to be original. There's too many shows like, you know, one of the shows I'll talk about is Intelligence, you know, Chicago PD. You know, these shows, they're just, you know, reproductions of the same stuff we've been seeing over the years, you know. And but, you know, at the same time, like Sarah and I talked about, it's what people like. You know, people like that, like the familiar. And, you know, they like it when a show wraps up within an hour, everybody moves on to the next week, and it can be a whole new adventure.
Yeah.
And you don't have to stick to it, you know.
Well, Sarah Smith, as you sit here today, do you have a nugget in your pocket that says this particular series is going to be the breakout series for sure, or is it not that clear to you?
I don't have a network series that I would say that about. I think that, once again, HBO has a really promising show coming out called True Detective, which I think we should talk about today.
That's the Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And that looks like it's just a very challenging, intellectual, and yet, you know, dark, violent sort of show that people will have to really sort of emotionally commit to.
I just, again, we'll get to that later on, but I'm amazed that two big stars like that would offer themselves up for a series like this, which, again, I guess speaks to the growing sort of relevance and popularity of TV.
Yes, it's everybody's sort of doing it, and I think that the fact that when you're making TV, you do have a little more time. I've seen where actors were interviewed and said that they had more time to sort of get down into the meat of a character on a TV show as opposed to 6 weeks film, bang, bang, you're out. So I think that actors like it as far as just, you know, from a career standpoint and just from a satisfaction standpoint, I think more actors are going to be doing it.
But Tim, just a few years ago, TV was not seen as the hip thing to do for mega movie stars who sort of saw TV as beneath them somehow. But I gather now from what Sarah's saying here that that's changing a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely like a rite of passage now. I think, you know, it's kind of everybody, you know, is going to dip into TV at some point. And I think for these guys to dip into HBO, it's, you know, it's a surefire success. I mean, the show looks great. So, you know, these guys are buddies anyway. So it's probably a lot of fun for them also to kind of get together and make a show together. And it's a short season also. I think there's 8 episodes.
Oh.
So they're not spending as much time as they would on a movie set.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit more of a laid back, but they're still making something that's really good, and they do have more time to really delve into the characters. So,
but they can't make the money on TV that they did on in the movies, or do you know about that?
Well, I mean, I'm sure HBO pays their actors pretty well, but, you know, that's what they do. They go out and they make a few good movies, you know, make some marketable movies, and then, you know, they have time to kind of take a few months off and make a TV show. So,
okay, let's move on to some now. Go on to some of the new shows that will be popping up on our screens here in January. Let's move on to start with Klondike here, Sarah. What's your sense of this new series that's coming out here in a few weeks?
This is a mini-series. It's the first scripted mini-series from Discovery. And I think it could be really good. They filmed it all up in northern Canada, where the events took place during the sort of last gold rush up in the Yukon. And it's got Richard Madden, who was a very popular character on Game of Thrones, who's not on that show anymore, unfortunately. Hmm. So if you're missing your Robb Stark from Game of Thrones, this is another chance to see him sort of being outdoorsy in a fur coat and being handsome and rugged. So, and it's a, you know, it's a story about seven strangers coming together in the wild. I think it should be good.
And this is the first scripted miniseries from Discovery, right?
That's right.
You know, I just saw a show on that channel the other night, Lone Target. I just loved it. It was this, it's sort of like Discovery Man, which I love that show too. But they plop this guy out in the middle of some country. Then they hire, I guess they bring in that country's special ops unit to sort of track him down in real life. And I thought it was terrific. I was like riveted by it, you know?
Yeah, the Discovery Channel really is sort of, has always been good at getting down to sort of a visceral, fun experience for people, whether it's sort of Shark Week or, you know,
yeah,
Naked and Afraid and, you know, all kinds of survivalist shows. And this is a scripted version of that. But I think it'll be, I think it'll also be, you know, literary. So
you think Klondike sort of has success written all over it here, it sounds like.
It should, yes.
Yes, okay. That's the first series here from Sarah Smith. That series is titled Klondike. Tim, let's move on to a show, a series. It's titled Intelligence.
Intelligence stars Josh Holloway, who a lot of people are going to know from the TV show Lost. He was Sawyer. This, you know, also has Marge Helgenberger, CSI fame, and P.J. Byrne, who was just in The Wolf of Wall Street. This kind of, to me, could be kind of a ripoff, or maybe not a ripoff. Maybe that's, it looks like, you know, if you know the show Chuck, it's kind of maybe a little bit more serious take on that. It's like this guy gets his a chip implanted into his brain, which allows him to see, you know, the emails and, you know, he's on the electronic grid, basically. It could be interesting, I think, if CBS allows it to grow, which is one thing about CBS is they do give their shows time to kind of breathe and find an audience, which they've done with, like, A Person of Interest, I think, which, you know, does a good job of being interesting from time to time.
So different networks actually have different reputations for, in terms of how much they'll let a show sort of roll along, maybe not really catching fire yet, but just sort of give it time, as you said, to use your phrase, to find its audience.
Yeah, I think CBS, I think, is probably the best about it. You know, as a network like Fox, probably, you know, NBC sometimes, they can be just really short. But it also, I think, comes down to keeping a show on the same night, which, mm-hmm. you know, CBS does a good job of, too. And for a show like this, you know, it's going to come off as kind of pretty typical. I think it'll be the, you know, the crime of the week kind of a deal. But I think it's got a great lead, Josh Holloway. I think he's an actor that needs kind of a breakout role, at, you know, here in mm-hmm. this post-law society. And I think he's a great guy to kind of lead this. You know, he's got a good on-screen charisma. So
you described Josh Holloway as a low-rent Jason Bourne. Maybe the star did.
That was me.
That was you.
Yeah.
His character, as a sort of, you know, he's kind of a walking NSA with this chip in his head. So I don't know. You know, we're going to have to see how much they've invested in it and how, you know, how exciting it's going to be. I think it's going to be action-packed. I think he's going to be doing a lot of running, jumping, and then we'll sort of see inside his head sort of like the Terminator-style readouts. It could be very interesting. I think it'll be fast-paced.
Well, I like running and jumping. That works for me.
Yeah.
It'll definitely get in the action junkies who mm-hmm. need a little one-hour action fix a week. So,
but in terms of what might be a big breakout series, where does this one rank? How probable is that in your view?
Well, I think because it's on CBS, I think it has a chance to, you know, to have some longevity, you mm-hmm. know, just because of the stars. It has stars, you know, especially with Marge Helgenberger, who, you know, the CSI. It's going to give audiences that, you know, a little bit of familiarity. And I think it's definitely looking at, you know, a few years on the air easily. Mm-hmm. So,
well, Mark tweets this: Intelligence is just a knockoff the TV show Continuum, which is what you were saying
right.
pretty much too here, right?
Yeah, and I think for people who are looking for something original, this probably isn't what you're going to find. But if you like the CBS formula, I think it'll be successful in its market. So,
okay. Well, in our second half, we'll get to a number of other series. We'll get to Killer Women, Chicago PD, Spoils of Babylon. I just wanted to kiss 2013 before it disappears too much in the rearview mirror. Sarah, run through 2013. Tell us what your biggest surprise of the year was when it comes to a new series popping up on TV.
Well, you know, last time we were here, I talked about Sleepy Hollow.
Yes, I remember.
And I thought that even though I liked it, it might not be very successful. It turned out to be this huge hit. And, you know, it's very fun, and yet it's got genuine scares, and it's got two likable leads who are well-matched and play off each other. And, you know, it hasn't gone too far into that will they or won't they, are they going to get together sort of thing. So
yeah.
It's defying a lot of expectations, and where the plot went surprised me. And I think people should catch up on it if they have a chance.
That's interesting. I mean, it just makes me think that the folks who put these shows on, I mean, what a huge gamble this is, because you were very middling on it when you talked about it last time. And here you're talking about it as the biggest surprise of 2013. I mean, what a tough job it is to come up with these new shows and try to decide which shows to invest millions of dollars in that might result in a hit down the road.
Yeah, I can't imagine the pitch meeting where somebody said, and then we see the Headless Horseman with the AK-47 in the graveyard, and you know, and people said, sure, let's make that, you know.
Yeah.
It was a big risk, but it really worked because they just sort of went all in with it.
Are you a Sleepy Hollow fan yourself, Tim?
I actually haven't seen this one. So yeah. I really want to get into it because I've heard more than enough things now that I'm like, you know, Tim, you really need to be watching this show. It
People
was
need,
kind of a
yeah.
show that early on I thought kind of looked a little ridiculous because I thought exactly that, the premise of seriously in modern day. I would have loved to have seen it maybe back in its time.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
If you have a comment on some of the new series coming out, maybe you want to comment on what you've seen in 2013, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, our email address, updatedat.kcur.org, or you can tweet us at @KCUR Up to Date. Nathan from Leawood. Nathan, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. I have two questions for the panel.
Yes, sir.
First, I'm a dedicated fan of Mad Men and Jon Hamm. So what do they know about the return of its final season? And the second question is, given the success of The Sopranos and Breaking Bad and The Wire and Mad Men and really, really well-told stories on cable, does the panel see any movement by the networks to start telling stories that are as well-told and as well-crafted as cable series?
Those are great questions, Nathan. I appreciate that. Well, let's start with Mad Men. It is coming back.
Yeah.
What do we know about the final season?
Matthew Weiner, the creator of that series, is notoriously tight-lipped. We know that it's coming back this spring, and it will probably have 12 or 13 episodes. And that's all you're going to know.
Drama will ensue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The end of last season, you know, Don had basically gotten fired. And had, the last we saw of him, he was with his children at the bordello where he grew up. So I think we will see, you know, him sort of revealing the truth about himself to his family and friends. But as to... No, there are no spoilers to be had on Mad Men.
The truth about himself being what?
That his life has been a sham, that, you know, he's basically, you know, he took a different name, he stole another man's identity. And, you know, people have been finding this out little by little about him throughout the series, but just the fact that he has basically been just living a lie for his entire life.
To what extent has that series sustained itself over the years, Sarah, and sort of been sort of a top caliber kind of show consistently over the seasons? How would you rate it in terms of that?
I think it's always been exquisitely crafted and meticulously plotted, and the acting has always just been fantastic. I think it's stumbled a bit. In the past couple seasons, I'm not sure that everybody was as interested in Don's second marriage as maybe the show creators were.
Yeah.
Although I think that actress did a terrific job with it. I think that was, people view that as sort of an unnecessary diversion. They weren't quite as invested in that.
And this will be season number what?
Ooh.
Nine? Eight? Nine? Something like that.
I think it's going into nine, but...
That's a lot of seasons. That's a lot
seven
of shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if it's seven, that's just a whole lot. How about Nathan's other question, Tim, this notion of, given the success of series like Breaking Bad and Mad Men, you know, are the networks and everyone else, for that matter, getting the message that this is the way to go with well-told stories, well-acted series, and is that what the future portends here?
I would love to believe that. I think one problem is I think they all think they're doing that when they start putting these lineups together and trying to, you know, plan out their next show. But I think one problem that happens is one show becomes successful on one network and the networks, you know, start scrambling to try to, you know, copy that success. And unfortunately, it kind of ends up, you know, they end up running in circles, you know. But, you know, hopefully, yes, we'll get around to where these networks are realizing that people want stories and they want great actors. You know, you don't have to get a bunch of just pretty little young faces anymore to make a successful show. And
but there is this sense out there, you know, that this notion that maybe it began with The Sopranos, where you take, you know, a guy living in the suburbs and you know, put him through extraordinary circumstances. We're sort of seeing that idea sort of revolve and come around time and time again, even though, you know, Breaking Bad being another great example of that, a school teacher who's turns out to be a drug pusher, you know, and a drug maker for that matter. You wonder how far they can go with that kind of idea.
Well, yeah, I think that's what's important. I think these shows that work, I think they take characters that we can all relate to. You know, it might not be easy to relate to you know, Josh Holloway's character on Intelligence, because we're not all former Navy SEALs. But, you know, you do. You get into a Walter White who's, you know, having trouble paying his mortgage and, you know.
He's every man.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easier for us to identify so that when these characters start going through these crazy circumstances, you start thinking, what would I do in that situation? Which I think is one reason why Breaking Bad worked so much, because it really played on a lot of those moral questions. And you know, TV needs to get down to that, because people really want that. People want to think while they're watching shows. So.
You think they are getting the message just based on what you're seeing?
I hope so. I think so. I think it's slowly sinking in. But it, you know, the problem is they keep kind of falling back on what's worked in the past, and sometimes they get a little scared.
Mary emailed us this about her frustrations with CBS. First, it was Under the Dome, then Hostages. There was another one along the way about the flashback history of a young cop who eventually becomes police commissioner. Hostages dawdled and dragged along for weeks, then just evaporated. Under the Dome was finally reaching the climax and the answer to the mystery. Then it just disappeared. You have no idea what they're going to do.
Well, Under the Dome will be back next summer. So, I mean, it's a summer show.
It's not over with then, Mary. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's one thing to look forward to. Yeah, they you know, that's pretty typical to leave off on a big cliffhanger. But that show will be back. So at least there's some hope that you'll get maybe some resolution out of it.
Sir Smith, let's go back to your list pertaining to 2013. What was your biggest disappointment of 2013?
I was looking to Rebel Wilson's sitcom Super Fun Night.
Yeah.
And
it had great buzz starting the season off.
It did. And it was not good. It wasn't particularly funny or interesting or innovative. And I think maybe she just took on too much before she had sort of clout that she needed. Basically, the show is just a half an hour of fat jokes. And it's disappointing.
Doesn't work after a while.
Somewhere worse than Mike and Molly, you know. And,
yeah.
And so I was very disappointed about that.
Tim English, let's go to your list here. Your biggest surprise of 2013.
Well, you know, I had two of them. One of them, I think what I originally said to you guys was American Horror Story. That, for me, I really enjoyed because it was a little different. The witches I got into a little bit more than, you know, what was it, the hospital last year, the house the year before. I like the concept of it, how they kind of take the same actors and, you know, completely reinvent them with new characters and a new story. And for me, the witches, I think, has just been more interesting, you know, and maybe not as played out as some of the other things. The other one was I wanted to mention was The Fall.
What was that series about? What's that about?
That's Gillian Anderson is playing a homicide detective, something like that. And she's investigating the serial killer. It's got her. Jamie Dornan is also in it. He's, you know, ladies will know him as the Christian Grey from the upcoming 50 Shades of Grey movie. But it's a great series. It's available on Netflix. That would be one. If somebody's looking for a real quick show to watch, I would definitely suggest that one.
The Fall. I've not even heard of The Fall. Okay.
It's great.
Good recommendation. Yeah. And your biggest disappointment, Tim, of 2013?
For me, it was ABC's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And for me, a big movie geek and a nerd, this one it has just been really flat coming right out of the box, I thought. And, you know, I've loved the movies Avengers, Captain America, Thor. They're all silly, fun movies. And I think the show right now is lacking everything that is making the movies good. Starting with, you know, I think weak characters and, you know, it's a show that fell into that. Hey, let's go out and get a bunch of pretty faces, but they're not very interesting, you know. And so and it's getting a little bit too into like Monster of the Week where there's a new superpowered freak that they have to go look for. And, you know, so I'd really love to see the show get a little bit more into the espionage kind of background of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, it doesn't have to always deal with the superheroes and stuff. There's plenty of story to tell.
So skip Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, unless you are a huge fan of the movies and are forgiving of bad writing, then I'd say skip it.
Okay. Well, let's take a break. But first, let's get our listeners involved here. Tell us what series you're looking forward to seeing most in the new year. Of all these 30 or 40 new shows that are coming out, we want to know what you're most interested in. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address is updatedate@kcur.org. Well, after a break, we'll come back and we'll talk about a bunch of these new series with our guests here, Sarah and Tim. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.
This is KCUR 89.3 FM, online at kcur.org, a service of UMKC. More of Up to Date still to come. Then at noon on Here and Now, fewer Americans are smoking, but more young people are picking up the habit. We'll have that story and all the day's headlines on Here and Now, today from noon to 2 on KCUR. Later on All Things Considered, a devastating tsunami that struck Southeast Asia in 2004 has had some unforeseen after effects and helped end decades of brutal conflict in Indonesia. Learn more on All Things Considered today from 4 to 6:30 on KCUR. It'll be sunny and breezy today with a high of 34. It's pretty much the same thing tonight under dark skies, a low of 27. Then we do have a good chance of snow tomorrow, a high of 32. It's 26 now in Midtown Kansas City. You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.
And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed yesterday's conversations with our panel about their predictions for Kansas City in 2014, you can find that and the weekend to-do list. Just go to kcur.org. Well, Well, this hour, this segment, we're visiting with Sarah Smith and Tim English. We're talking about new TV series coming out in January here, a big change from the past, lots of new shows launching. Later on this hour, Greg Eklund from KCUR will join us to preview tomorrow's Chiefs playoff game. Let's go back to Sarah Smith here and tell us about a series, Killer Women, Sarah.
Well, despite the awful title, it's actually a show about a female Texas Ranger and the sort of sexism she encounters in the workplace. And she just sort of, it's just sort of that classic story of a woman just wanting to do her job and encountering a lot of guys with chips on their shoulders. It's executive produced by Sofia Vergara, so it should be the implication that we're being given about this is that it's going to be very fun and sexy in addition to sort of a feminist cop show. So
it's called Killer Women because does she kill a lot of people, or what are we talking about here?
Like I said, I think that's a terrible title.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, a little misleading, I think. We have a clip here from this new show. Set it up for us, Sarah.
All right. Well, our lead character, Molly Parker, is arriving on a crime scene, and she gets a little attitude from the cops already on the scene.
This is from Killer Women. It'll appear on ABC.
Lieutenant?
Cinco Peso Parker is here. It's been quite a year for you, sweetheart. From state trooper to Texas Ranger. Congrats.
Could be a spot open next year. Maybe two if I get shot or fired.
Well, from what I hear, I'm one chromosome out of contention.
Our joint lieutenant notified Border Patrol, and we've tapped into the surveillance cameras on the interstate.
We've got a statewide APB out, and a picture of the shooter's being circulated. We'll get her.
What evidence so far?
Pair of high heels and the gun.
Our lab can run DNA on the shoes.
So can our lab, but I sure do appreciate the backup.
What about interviews?
We're shuttling witnesses back to headquarters, all 237 of them.
I'd like to speak with the groom.
Shoulder to cry on type of thing?
I don't want to step on toes.
And yet you just did.
Okay. She's up against it, isn't she?
Yes.
You get that impression pretty quickly here. Tim, let's go to Spoils of Babylon.
Okay. I picked this one because I thought it kind of looked like it was going to be the one that really flies under the radar, especially because it's going to be airing on IFC, and it's going to be on it starts Thursday, January 9th, right around the corner here.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on IFC, and this one stars Tobey Maguire, Kristen Wiig, Tim Robbins, Jessica Alba, Haley Joel Osment, Michael Sheen, Will Ferrell.
Val Kilmer, Tim Robbins.
Val Kilmer.
How can this series fly under the radar screen with a cast like that?
I think it's just because it's on IFC.
IFC?
The Independent Film Channel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This is like, it's spoofing like the Thornburgs, like the old epic miniseries from like the 70s and 80s. And it's from Matt Piedmont, who was real big on Saturday Night Live for many years.
Huh.
And, you know, it could be interesting. It's going to be crazy, but I think the positive is it could be hilarious because it's got a great comedy team behind it. And the negative, it could just feel like a really long, bad Saturday Night Live sketch.
Ah.
And, if you watch SNL, the ones that are bad don't ever seem to end.
Yes.
So,
what's the clip we have here from Spoils of Babylon?
In the clip here, we have Tobey Maguire and Kristen Wiig. They play adoptive brother and sister, and they're eavesdropping on their father, who's played by Tim Robbins. And they have kind of a weird relationship, very kind of possibly incestual. So it's kind of a weird deal, and they're both just kind of fools, so...
Here we go. This is from Spoils of Babylon.
What are they saying?
Shh, I can't hear.
Are they mad at Father?
No, they're just some greedy old businessman talking about the economy.
What's the economy?
Gosh, you're a dummy. The economy, money, the way nations conduct business.
You don't know nothing about that.
Nothing to know. What did Adam Smith say? It's not by augmenting the capital of a country, but by rendering a greater part of that capital active and productive than would otherwise be so, that the most judicious operations of banking can increase the industry of the country.
Why don't you kiss me? It's been so long since you kissed me. Do you forget how?
Gosh, no, I didn't forget nothing. It's just... It's just that I'm not supposed to.
But don't you wanna?
Yeah. I sure do, sis.
Yeah, pretty
Yikes.
Weird. So
yeah. Okay. You sort of wonder why Tobey Maguire would make a film like that and a show like that with Kristen Wiig. Sarah Smith, let's go to Chicago PD.
Yeah, this is a spinoff of Chicago Fire. So you'll be seeing a lot of the crossovers with that, and it's a Dick Wolf show, who was the guy who created all the Law and Order series.
Ah.
So they're going to have a crossover show this season with the guys from Law and Order SVU who had to come to Chicago. So you're firmly in that sort of universe here. And what we're going to hear here is our new hero, Sergeant Voight, and you'll recognize him. He's in charge because he has the most raspy voice, and he and his team are debating whether or not they have cause to bust into a house.
From Chicago PD.
It looked like blood. Not in the fact that we don't know that guy.
You don't have to justify it. You got a bad hit, you got a bad hit. Let's go in.
No, because maybe it looked like blood. That's not probable cause to force an entry.
He could have been marinating a chicken and spilled barbecue sauce on his pants.
We've got three ODs traced back to the heroin reps moving. You want to wait for another kid to die?
We'll do a knock and talk. Right? Whoever's in control of the apartment gets all squirrely. We'll take it from there.
Going back up. Stand by.
Tucked in and ready to go, boss.
Barbecue sauce is a marinade. What's that, some kind of Puerto Rican thing or something?
I'm Dominican.
Just get too much sugar and it'll burn the meat.
10-1! Shots fired at the police!
Oh, okay. Sounds like sort of the typical cop thing.
Yeah, it's cops in no-win situations.
That's Chicago PD. It'll be on NBC. We have an email from Leslie who writes, I can't wait for the next season of Sherlock. Would love to hear what your guests think. What about Sherlock?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that Benedict Cumberbatch is awesome. So I think the new season, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it looks great. I mean, I don't know too many details about it, but... he's fantastic, and this is the character that really kind of brought him into the public eye. You know?
All right, let's move on here to True Detective. We're talking about some of the new shows that'll be airing this month. Here, this is interesting to me because True Detective, it's going to be an HBO series. It features Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. Tim,
yeah, and in this one they are. They play these two detectives who are investigating a serial killer in 1995, and so it kind of cuts to 17 years later, and they're both being interviewed, asking to recount the events of their investigation. Yeah. And, so it goes a lot into the flashbacks, and it'll get into their relationship together, and I'm sure it'll offer up all kinds of twists and turns and surprises. So... it's got a really great, like you said, a great cast, and it's from Nick Pozzolato, who wrote for the Killing.
Mm-hmm.
This one's going to be on Sunday, January 12th. I don't have a start. I don't have a time.
I think it's on at 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
HBO Sunday night. It's going to be their new Sunday night show. That'll be going up against the Golden Globes there that night. So.
Well, again, it seems that we talked in our first half about this show and the drawing power of TV to attract stars like this. Let's go to some phone calls here, and Doug from Leawood. Doug, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Steve. It's Doug Wardle.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
Good, man. Good. Hey, it's more of an observation than a question. It seems to me that the successful cable shows like The Sopranos, like Mad Men, like Breaking Bad, like The Fall from BBC – I'll follow the model of literary novels, where it seems to me that the networks seem to be more interested in following the model of, young adult genre fiction. And it's all very derivative, and even the ones that are well made and have some staying power still kind of follow more popular, pop culture model than the literary model. And I don't know, I was just wondering what your guests had to say about that, and say hello to Katie for me.
I will, Doug. I think the TV world needs to be introduced to Thin Blue Smoke, your very fine book. There you go.
It would make thank you, sir. It would make a great great miniseries on HBO.
There you go. What about Doug's point, Sarah?
I think he makes a good point. And I think, I don't think that there's so much, you know, you brought up the whole suburban male thing. I think that the reason that The Sopranos and Mad Men and Breaking Bad were so good wasn't necessarily that. I think it was the fact that the authors and the showrunners were given the license to do what they wanted to do. I mm-hmm. think that they, you know, Vince Gilligan was trusted to, you know, just make what he wanted. And he got a great team together and they got in a room and they did it on their own terms. And the same thing happened on The Sopranos. Hmm. And where David Chase was just, he had worked on, networks before and he had the freedom to do what he wanted on HBO or else he wouldn't have done it. And I think it's, you have to let, you have to find your creative genius that you believe in and then give him the license that he needs to just sort of run with it and give him the time and the resources to do it. And I think that's where your major networks have a real problem. They can't keep themselves from meddling.
Hmm. Let's move on to a few other series here to round out our segment here. Sarah, Flowers in the Attic, it'll air on Lifetime beginning on Saturday, January 18th.
Yeah, this is, of course, based on the V.C. Andrews book that yes. everybody my age had hidden under their mattress and was already made into a TV movie with Christy Swanson earlier. But this one has Kiernan Shipka, who was Sally Draper on Mad Men. And it's got Heather Graham as her mother and Ellen Burstyn as her grandmother. And I think they're going to tackle some of the more icky issues that the book brought up. It's about these poor kids trapped in this attic by their crazy grandma. And I think it could be really dark and really fun at the same time. So.
Heather Graham's playing a mom now. I'm really getting old. Okay. Tim, how about Rake on Fox?
You know, this is what I'm really excited about because I think it has a great creative team behind it with Peter Tolan, who did Rescue Me. Sam Raimi is directing the pilot, and it's starring Greg Kinnear, who I think is just a great yes. actor. I think he's yes. got so much on-screen presence that he's so much fun to watch. And this is a remake of an Australian show from a few years back. They're bringing in the same creator, Peter Duncan. And in this, Greg Kinnear plays a defense lawyer whose life is just a mess. You know, he's a womanizer and just gets into all kinds of trouble. So you get to kind of follow his shenanigans. But I think it's going to be so good. My only problem is everybody going to kind of stick around long enough, you know, because like Greg Kinnear, you know, how long is he going to stay on a TV show?
Yeah.
But also the thing is, how long will Fox give this? I think for me with Fox, it's always wondering, they seem to switch shows around so many
very
nights.
Very impatient.
And this yeah. seems like a show that I think could be very good, kind of, you know, like offbeat humor comedy. But how long will it last? That's kind of my problem is, you know, and if I'm going to get invested, I want to see this show last because I think there's so much potential in
that's
this one.
Interesting. That's Rake. That'll appear on Fox on January 29th. Sarah, wrap it up here today. Lizzie Borden took an axe. What's that series about?
That is a short little offering from Lifetime starring Christina Ricci as Lizzie Borden. I think it was 1892. She may or may not have butchered her father and stepmother with an axe, probably, who knows. But, you know, this will tell the story of her, the fateful day and her sordid trial. And I think it'll be interesting. You know, Christina Ricci is at her best when she's, helping us tell a creepy story and she's wearing a corset and a period piece. And I think no matter what, it'll be interesting.
Okay, lots of things to think about here. I want to thank Sarah Smith and Tim English both for coming in and giving us a good preview for what's ahead on TV in 2014. Thank you both very much.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.